sometimes, for example, at a funeral, when I know there's people in the church that are not familiar with the biblical background, the biblical images, I begin to have this question, what do they think? And we hold up this little round disc and we say, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him who takes away the sins of the world." What is going through their minds? But you know, that image of Jesus as Lamb of God must have been really powerful to those first Christians. Because they would have known the biblical imagery. You know, they would have been familiar with the Passover. You know, that day when the Jews were told in Egypt to slaughter a lamb, each family, to paint the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, and then to share the flesh of the lamb as a family meal. And that was a feast that they observed every year. Every year they slaughtered a lamb, they ate the flesh of the lamb, and they had that sense that that lamb had saved them from slavery. That even though they had been freed long ago in Egypt, it was like they were being freed today. So they would have understood that imagery. And they would have been able to associate well that Jesus is the fulfillment of all those Passover lambs, where they rescued the people from temporary slavery. Jesus rescues us from eternal slavery to sin. Think about John the Baptist. You know, in John's Gospel, the first time that John the Baptist encounters Jesus as an adult, what does he say? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John had a prophetic voice. He understood in some way Jesus was going to rescue them from their sins. And he was to become that sacrificial lamb. Let us go to the second reading. It speaks of a lamb in the center of the throne in the heavenly temple. And it talks about that lamb as the one who would lead his people to life, to eternal life. And then it says, "He will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God would wipe every tear from their eyes." Notice how the image, he's both lamb, but lamb who shepherds. Does both. And notice also that sense of compassion in the reading. He will wipe away the tears from every eye. As if God understands well the hardships, the sufferings, the sorrows of our lives as humans. That we go through those times that are painful for us. That somehow the Lamb will lead us. Those tears will be taken away. And we will cry those tears no more. I'm going to go to the Gospel reading now. And the Gospel reading is the image of shepherd that is picked up. That shepherd who will lead us to life-giving waters. But there's another image in there that's so important, and that is who hear. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus is sent to shepherd you and I. His mission was to lead you and I to eternal life. And so that raises the question for you and I, do we hear? Do we hear His voice? Do we listen? And because He can only shepherd us if we listen to Him. And if we don't listen to the voice of the shepherd, how will He lead us to those life-giving waters? How will he bring us to eternal life if we do not listen to his voice? And so, that leads us to that question of, how much do I listen? What are the distractions in my life that keep me from listening? What are the sins in my life that I need to let go of so that I can be drawn closer to the shepherd and can openly hear his voice? And I think probably for all of us, I know it's present in my own life, there's just times I don't want to listen. And I don't want to listen because the shepherd may ask me to do something I'm not really quite ready to do. Maybe it's to give up something I don't want to give up. You know, those things that we're attached to, those patterns of sin, whatever they may be, we have to hear the voice of the shepherd speaking to us, leading us, guiding us to the things that will lead us to everlasting life. And that's our challenge. You know, Jesus wants to shepherd us, but he also respects us, respects our freedom. We don't have to listen. If we want to go the other direction, we're free to do that. We pay the consequences for that, but that's our choice. So we might ask ourselves, do I really want to hear the voice of the shepherd? Do I really want eternal life? Is that important to me? Would I prefer just to get caught up in this life, knowing that it'll go away? It's a question for each of us. How bad do I want eternal life? How willing am I to listen? Am I willing to let go of those things in my life that are obstacles to hearing the voice of the shepherd?